Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:04 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is March 8th. We saw an impressive rally right across stock markets in here today. It started off in Asia this morning. The Nikkei was up by over 2%, just about. That's a really emphatic rebound following probably about a week, perhaps a bit more than that, to the downside. It steadied on Wednesday and really had a very good day today. It was accompanied by additional weakness by the yen. The Chinese A-share market was also a bit steadier in here today, not in a particularly dynamic fashion, but it has certainly steadied. It is notable that the A-shares have posted their largest rally in more than a year. They have closed the overextension relative to the 200-day moving average. So far, it looks to be a consolidation. Now, if we see it pushing on to a new high, that would be pushing above the 200-day moving average. That would really be very encouraging indeed. That possibility certainly can't be discounted in this environment. Elsewhere in Asia, the Indian market had pulled back very sharply in the last couple of weeks. It's right back to the 200-day MA. The banking sector was a bit steadier in here today. The Nifty was off its lows. This is the first area of potential support. The Indian market is another one that has had a much bigger rally than we've seen in most of last year. And it's also closed its overextension relative to the MA. And there is potential that the bottom is in, provided it continues to hold above or holds its progression of higher reaction lows from the low that was posted late last year. The Filipino market was also a bit firmer in here, and it's held its progression of higher reaction lows throughout this little reaction that we've had. Into the European markets, the majority finished up in excess of 2%. The FTSE was up over 1%, the CAC and the DAX both up in the region of 2.5%. The Swiss market was up just less than 1%. The on Wall Street, the Dow Jones was up about 0.5%, the S&P up just under 1%, and the NASDAQ up in the region of 1%. The TSX was up just less than that, and the Brazilian market tacked on an additional 1% in here today. It is interesting from that report on the foreign affiliates that I posted on Friday, and I wrote a bit more about it earlier this week, that particularly when one looks at all of the shares divided by where they're listed, there's a high degree of commonality among the foreign affiliates in various countries rather than by sector globally. That's not something we tend to see very often. For example, I did a click-through of the brewing sector today, and there's a high degree of commonality across country boundaries, right across the whole sector globally, whether you're looking at European or UK brewers, or indeed Brazilian or US brewers, or even in Asia, there's a common thread of outperformance relative to their domestic markets and in absolute terms. But when I looked at those foreign affiliates earlier this week, what it was particularly noticeable was that when we looked at the Brazilian market and the affiliates that were in there, there was a high degree of commonality between the various companies, regardless of what sector they were in. They were pretty much all outperforming the Bovespa, whereas the Brazilian market has been largely range-bound for much of the last 18 months. The affiliates haven't been. They really have been exhibiting powerfully demand-dominated environments, and they represent some of the most consistent trends there are in that particular market. It's a pretty similar story in a number of others, particularly in the ASEAN region. So I think that's where the value is in the affiliates. I think it's a very similar story in India. It's been that case for really quite some time. I suppose India is the country with which we have historically been most familiar with the foreign affiliates that are listed in there, such as Nestle and Hindustan Lever and Siemens India, where they have outperformed the domestic market in no uncertain terms and have been doing so for quite some time. I think that is probably the best way to look at the affiliates. One does need to look at them, where the country they're based in and how they're performing relative to that market. In the if we recap what else happened in the markets today, commodities were a bit firmer in here. The dollar was a bit weaker. Gold was stronger by about $16. It's back above the $1,700 level. The platinum market was stronger by $33. It's up to $1,660. Silver probably had a less impressive performance. It was only up 28 cents, but it's back above the $33.50 area. And palladium was up $15. It's back above the $700 area. I bought a little bit of platinum in here today. In my experience, it's best bought following a reaction. We've certainly had a reaction. The risk reward, I suspect, is in my favor, and the potential for an additional advance, I think, is more likely than not. Oil today was a bit stronger. It was up 55 cents on West Texas Intermediate, and Brent crude is above $125. I had earlier this week mentioned $125. A sustained move above that level would reassert the medium-term demand-dominated environment, and provided it continues to hold above that level, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside here for oil. That's not a particularly comfortable situation, but there isn't any real reason to question additional potential for upside in Brent crude at present. The dollar was a bit weaker against just about everything, particularly the euro, where the euro was stronger by 1.2 cents against the pound. The dollar was weaker by about 80 cents, and the yen was probably one of the only currencies that was weaker against the US dollar, and it was weaker by about half of 1 yen. It's up to 81.60. The yen had outperformed the dollar for the last couple of weeks. It now seems to be weakening once more. That really is quite positive action. It certainly helped to restore some confidence in the Japanese stock market. And the banking sector bounced even more emphatically than the Nikkei in here today. And we're seeing an increasing number of those shares breaking out of multi-year bases. And that really is very positive indeed. The perspective of the type of analysis that we do, one of the things that we really like to see is base formation completion. It's a really powerful continuation pattern. And for the leaders in Japan, they are probably the ones that are benefiting most. Well, they're the ones that were doing best in an environment where there was a very strong currency. They are likely to also benefit from the weakness of the currency, and it does look increasingly likely that the Bank of Japan has adopted a more aggressive attitude towards a strengthening of the yen. U.S. Treasuries were a bit weaker in here today. They were down 28 ticks. It's down to below 141. There was a contract change on euro bonds yesterday, so that has left a gap on the chart. We've seen these gaps develop on a whole range of these sovereign bond markets because of the wide backwardation that there has been in some of these contracts. Now, backwardation would suggest a short-term supply deficit, and there certainly has been a great demand for U.S. Treasuries, gilts, bunds, and JGBs, and indeed the Swiss 10-year as safe haven. And they've been trading in a very narrow band for quite some time. They've become a little bit more volatile, and the band has actually tightened up. They continue to hold an upward bias, particularly the U.S. 10-year and the the German Bunds and the Swiss tenure. If they start breaking their progressions of higher reaction lows, then we could see yields start to rise quite a bit faster. We remain in a position where central banks are remarkably active. The Bank of England is contemplating buying an additional 50 billion worth of gilts and extending their quantitative easing program. The ECB has just created or lent out over €1 trillion. The Bank of Japan has adopted an inflation target and is printing yen to attempt to achieve it. And there's speculation that the Fed will adopt a sanitized version of quantitative easing. And none of that suggests that there's a shortage of liquidity. That's why the tone on stock markets has been perhaps a bit more bullish than we've seen over the last 6 months. The volatility that we saw between August and October was debilitating to sentiment. It all changed in December when Mario Draghi started lending to the banking sector in Europe. What we've just seen was a reasonably sharp pullback, and today we saw an impressive rebound for a number of these markets. That's getting back to the more demand-dominated environment that we would have expected previous to that bout of extraordinary volatility that we had late last year. What we are now presented with is an additional higher reaction low for a number of these stock markets. If one looks at Singapore, it had pulled back sharply. It bounced to today from the region of the 200-day moving average. So the pullback is enough to constitute a reaction. The bounce is enough to suggest short-term support. And we can give the benefit of the doubt provided it continues to hold above this week's low. And it's a very similar story for the majority of these stock markets. Now, that doesn't detract from the fact that some of the best performing shares didn't pull back at all in the last couple of weeks. And they've actually extended their overbought conditions relative to the 200-day moving average. There's absolutely no evidence that shares such as Diageo or Nike or Apple or a whole range of others that have become really quite overextended relative to the 200-day moving averages. There's nothing to suggest that their impressive uptrends have ended, but they are susceptible to a pullback and consolidation towards their 200-day MAs. When that does begin to occur, it's likely to, since there's been such a high degree of commonality right across this autonomy sector. We define autonomies as those companies that are leveraged to the growth of the global consumer, that dominate their respective niches, that have the global reach to give true exposure to the burgeoning middle classes in the faster growth economies. And they usually have the better balance sheets and pay reasonable dividends, or often very reliable dividends among the dividend aristocrats. We've seen a high degree of commonality across this sector, regardless of which business class they've been in. The autonomies have done spectacularly well in the last 5 or 6 months. They've developed short-term overbought conditions. A number of them are in secular bull markets, so we can anticipate that they're going to tack on quite significant additional gains over the medium to long term. But in the short term, the risk of a pullback and consolidation is increasing, and that would be healthy. If they continue to accelerate higher, then an acceleration is a trend ending, but for undetermined duration. And if we do start to see some of these shares accelerating higher, then acceleration expends the available demand that is available at any given time, and the hangover subsequently can take quite a bit of time to unwind. The medium-term uptrend can continue to be given the benefit of the doubt provided they hold above their respective 200-day moving averages. And while a number have become somewhat overextended, I don't think you could say that many have really truly accelerated. I think Apple is an exception. Apple has certainly accelerated in the last few months. But it has also paused, and it had a pause around $500, it had a pause now around $550. What we can say is that the pauses are getting smaller and they're getting shorter. A reaction of greater than approximately $30 would now really be required to begin to question the consistency of the short-term uptrend. When we look around the world, we have a generally a demand-dominated environment for stock markets generally. We are at a remarkably easy time in terms of monetary policy, and there is the prospect that we're going to get additional liquidity injections from a number of central banks in Europe and North America, and particularly Japan. That should help to support the cyclical bull market that got going back in October. Oil prices are a threat. If Brent crude continues to push higher, that is going to have an impact at some point. We're already starting to see it somewhat in Asia, where central banks are beginning to talk about inflationary problems not disappearing as quickly as they had anticipated, and that's linked almost entirely to oil. You don't have the food price inflation just now. The grains and beans complex has been fairly quiescent. Rough rice is certainly not surging higher. The continuous commodity index, which is unweighted, has deteriorated over the last year. So it really is just about oil. And the chart action has been positive. There's no reason to anticipate that it's about to collapse in here. It's been performing like a risk asset, just like the stock markets. Unfortunately, the consequences of high oil prices are very real indeed. And it may have an impact on the ability of some of these Asian markets to cut interest rates and to adopt an easier stance with regard to monetary policy. So it is probably the most credible of the threats that is currently outstanding relative to the global markets. But as long as we're getting masses of new capital being created and more liquidity hitting the wider market, then we can probably continue to give the benefit of the doubt to these stock markets, and particularly as long as the progressions of higher reaction lows remain intact. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening. I wish all the best to all of you.